It is this place that Jesus sought in the busyness of his own ministry. And today, actually, we have two models of ministry or service or caretaking. The first one on one level is very bad. The second one is very good. So I'm going to start with the bad one first. This is where Jesus and his friends are so tired that they just need to go someplace and get away from it all. Anybody ever felt like that, right? So how many times today? Right? We live busy lives, very busy lives, and there's stuff for us coming in all the time. And Jesus and his friends are like over it. And they want to go away. The problem is they get on a boat, and everybody sees them get on a boat, and then the boat takes longer to get to wherever it is that they're going than the people can walk. And so the people see them. Oh, yeah, look, they're there. And then they walk to where they're going to get off the boat. And guess what? Jesus and his friends says, yeah, that was quick. So what's wrong about that model of ministry is that they never get any rest. And we have to have rest. We have to have that place that we started with for our own hearts to just kind of get replenished and nourished. So that getting rest is a good model. It doesn't happen in this scripture, okay? It happens elsewhere. But don't let this scripture be the thing that says, ooh, gotta go, you know, do it again. They didn't get any rest, neither should I. We need that rest. What moves us sometimes out of that rest is what happened in this scripture, which is Jesus saw his friends, his brothers and sisters, hungry, like a shepherd, like sheep without a shepherd. And he was moved to compassion. This tells us a lot about where our ministry, our caregiving, comes from out of our own hearts. And that is compassion. It has to be of compassion. This is like the parent. I used to be an elementary school principal. I had 600 elementary kids. I had a great time. I loved being a principal. But I would see a mom or a dad come in, and they had a kid in their arms and one in the carriage, and the first grader who had learned to repeat the word that Uncle Billy had taught them over the weekend. And that word you can't use at school. So mom or dad has got to come in, bouncing a kid here and trying to keep this one and trying to convince, you know, little boy that he cannot use that kind of language because now he's in the principal's office. And you could tell the mom or dad was on their last nerve. Again, we all know what that last nerve is, right? And what happens then when you're bouncing the baby and it's like, oh no, not in the middle of this. I've got one in the office for saying what's in the diaper and I've, you know. And what happens? The parent, the caregiver can't just say, oh, well, we don't have to worry about any of this. They're divided in three different ways. And one way is pretty immediate, demanding attention. And where parents go is to their compassion. That's the only thing that helps us when we are caregivers and tired, is to find the depth of who we are and the presence of God within us and find that compassion. That's the second model of ministry, and that's the one that helps us out of this gospel. Jesus seeks the rest that we have prayed for. We all do. And we have to have it. So how does this all connect with our the reading from Ephesians? about circumcision, certainly something I want to stand here and talk to you about. You know, so there are some things that we just kind of need to put into historical context. And I did this morning. Can I do this again if I use your architecture for... So, in the temples, the Jewish temples at the time of Jesus, they had a wall that was 3 cubits tall. Does anybody know how tall a cubit is? 1 cubit? Don't worry about it. About 20 inches. And how they did it, a cubit was measured from elbow to top finger. All right, the problem with that is some people have longer arms. Right, so a cubit is about 20 inches. But imagine that means if it was a 3-cubit wall, there would be a 5-foot wall back in the back. And the people that were allowed to come into the back of the church or temple, a little stinky back there, they were the foreigners. They were the strangers. And in this psychology and in this actual physicalness, there was a division between the holy and the stranger. Oh, they could come and visit. Please put on more deodorant. Please try to clean yourselves up a little bit. We are the holy. Now, I'm emphasizing this and exaggerating it, but there was a physical wall. And for some people, their sense of how they became holy, which is a distortion, is that if they could remain pure by pushing away what was unclean, they would be holy. Now, why that doesn't work is because we can never make ourselves holy. Not ever. Why? Holiness belongs to God. When God dwells within us, we are holy. God is holy. Now, to put that into something that it sounds like it's possible is to say, when we love, God is present within us. And when we love, then we are being holy. So for us to be a people, a holy people, it's to be a people of love. Now let's put that sense of holiness in our hearts where it belongs, this compassion, and try to figure out what to do with the 5-foot wall in the back of the church. It doesn't fit, does it? And is there any experience, really, that we could have in life if we know that holiness is about love that we wouldn't want to wander around and discover in our brothers and sisters who are different than we are? We don't have to be afraid of folks that are different than we are. Because if there's love there, and maybe we're the ones that need to bring it, but if there's love there, God is there. There is no division between us and them. But at the time of Jesus, there was, and it was physical. It was a reminder every time they came to temple that there were strangers back there. Now, some of you are older, and some of you aren't. But do you remember the days or times, or have you seen pictures when to come up here you had to be really kind of like connected and wear a white robe and kind of like, this is really, you're getting close, right? Maybe we could allow male altar servers, right? 50, 60 years ago. Now, keep coming with me. Now, I'm going to keep going, and I'm here with the choir, but they're kind of holy because they speak and, you know, sing, and we can let them up here. But now, gosh, you're kind of getting a little blurry. My eyesight isn't as good as it used to be. Oh, just a minute. Oh, priest. Ah. Hi. Oh, just a minute. Let's be solemn. This is the Holy of Holies. Men only. Clergy. Ordained. The rest, kinda stinky. Beautiful landscape up here. Beautiful windows. Love it a lot. Oh, kinda getting out in the suburbs. Might even be getting close to the barrio. Oh, God. Oh, what happens out here? Oh, thank God those days are gone. Jesus got rid of all of that. It takes churches a while to remember that, to be honest. It does. Because sometimes we get this false notion that to be holy is to be removed. And it isn't. To be holy is to be loving. And we can do that anywhere. We can do that anywhere. And why? So Ephesians teaches us that Jesus broke down the wall, that never again would there be a place that we can say us and them. The only thing that we can say now in the time of Jesus is us, brothers and sisters. That's the only way that it works. I'm going to sneak a little Franciscan poverty into you, which the wrong way to look at it is to say own nothing. That is the most shallow way of looking at poverty. Here's what poverty is. I should have nothing in me that keeps me from loving God and my neighbor. Not a demographic, not a concept, not an idea. There should be no wall between me and God and my brothers and sisters. Because as John teaches us, if there is a wall between you and your brother, and you say you love God, you're a liar. Jesus has broken down the wall. And when you and I were back to that place of peace and rest, when you and I are together, loving. Listen to this. God dwells among us. Let's do that again. Find that peace. Find that connection. Find that sense of community. Find that love. And it is there that we are the dwelling place of God. Ready? It's a new way of looking at things. It's a new way. And ancient at the same time. Let us pray for our peace, for our centering. Let us pray that we are the holiness of God, the presence of God, the love of God within the world. Let us be also the cloak that people touched to know that God was present.